Frank. The more I've gotten to know Frank Hathaway, the more I appreciate him. He seems to be a great man, and glad to be his friend. I'm going to ask if you would to turn in your Bibles to Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 7. I'm going to continue in a series of messages today talking to you about the power of his resurrection. Brother Frank talked about in that song, or shared in that song, about how a person can know Christ and can be made whole. And at the end of this sermon, we give you an opportunity to come forward. Pastor Michael Carpenter will be here, and I'll be down front. And if we can pray with you or help you to know Christ first off, or in a better way, we want to share that time with you. So let's read together in the book of Philippians and chapter 3. And beginning with verse 7. Now, for this series of messages, I have reverted back to New International Version, but you'll see on the screen that it shows the Holman Christian Standard. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Young newlyweds were on their honeymoon. They stopped in to do some shopping at an outlet mall and went into one of the stores there. The man went on one side of the store and his new wife went on the other side of the store looking at different things. And a clerk approached the new groom and asked him, "May I help you?" The man replied, "No, thank you, I was just looking." And so the clerk pursued and said, "Well, are you by yourself?" And the man says, "Well, no, actually I'm with her." And the clerk says, "Well, is that your wife?" And the man says, "Well, yes, it is." The wife, of course, is across the store and she's heard all this and she got rather upset and she yells from the other side, "Have you forgotten me already?" And the truth of the story is this: he just hadn't gotten used to the idea that he was in a new position. He was now a husband, he had a wife, had a close relationship. And I never made that mistake again. Now, many Christians live that way in regard to their relationship with Christ, I think. They go through what it means to be a Christian, yet without realizing the potential of that relationship, what Jesus really wants to do in their life. They are now engaged in something new and different, and they need to experience Christ at all the levels that he wants to give himself to us. When a person comes to Christ, things change, do they not? But yet many people still live in a shadow of what they could be if they would understand what it means to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. Now, our relationship with the Lord is supposed to be one that is personal. It should reflect passion on our part, just so that we can kind of set up the difference. Imagine going to your particular church on Sunday and going through some rituals and you saying something, the other person something, and you just kind of engage in this ritual of worship, but you never get personally engaged in knowing the Savior that you say you believe in, you have trusted in, and is supposed to be in your life. That is the difference we're talking about. Knowing Jesus Christ is supposed to be a personal connection, not just a series of steps that we go through. It's kind of a, well, let me go on. I always have a funny story to tell with that, but it's always funnier to me than others. The Apostle Paul in this passage goes deeper in what it means to know Christ than just about any other place he writes in the New Testament. So as a reminder, last Sunday I talked to you about I want to know Christ. And to know Christ is based on the meaning of that special word there in the Greek, which is kenosko, and it means to receive and develop a personal and dynamic relationship with him. It involves a personal faith union. At some point, a person has to make a commitment to Christ as their Savior. It is a life-shaping relationship. When I came to Christ, even as a boy, Jesus began to work in me and shape and change my life. Has he changed yours since you've known Christ as Savior? That's a part of what salvation is. So it involves that salvation. It involves a close connection with Christ. You cannot come to Christ in 1910 and believe him as your Savior, and then that's all you ever do in your relationship with Christ and think that you're going to grow. You have got to spend regular time in connection with him. You have to devote energy to the relationship. You have to be willing to be changeable. Let him make a difference in your heart and life and try to be a partner with him in his work. All of that is a part of what it means to know Christ. Very similar for us in how we know anybody else on this earth. These things are a part. Spending time, letting them change us, partnering with them. All of that is what it means to know Christ. It's not just head knowledge. It is a life of passion that we're talking about. So last week we talked about that first phrase in this verse. I want to know Christ. Today I want to talk to you about the power of his resurrection. Now, I'm not trying to be someone with rocket science here. This is very simple. There's two major words in that phrase, the power of his resurrection. Of course, the main one is resurrection, but the first one we're going to look at is the word power, the word power. Now, that word in the Greek is the word dunamis. It's the word from which we get our word dynamite. So when you think about dynamite, you're thinking about the power that God has. In this particular context, this word means moral strength, miraculous might, or abundant ability. If you were like my oldest daughter, Stephanie, she loves Marvel Comics. So when she thinks about the word dynamite, she's going to think of all of those Marvel comic characters, like Captain America. Okay? But we are thinking more in terms of the strength and the power and the abundance that the Lord provides us in his resurrection. Now let's talk about that word and then we're going to put them together. If the word power means dynamite, it represents strength and power and abundance. The word resurrection, most of us understand that to mean coming back from the dead. Anybody who's been resurrected was once dead and now they are alive. Resurrection is coming back to life. But consider with me the difference. Jesus did bring Lazarus back from the dead, and some would say he was resurrected, but not completely, because Lazarus did not come out of the grave by his own power, and he would not live forever. He would die again someday, and he did. But Jesus experienced genuine resurrection in that he raised himself from the dead by his own power, and he lives for eternity. There is quite a difference, isn't there? Okay, one is just being healed from being ill for a while. The other one is having new life. And that's what we're talking about. Lazarus' life was temporary, but Jesus experienced eternal life, and he can share that with us. As a matter of fact, Jesus did not just experience resurrection. You remember after he healed Lazarus, or actually before he healed Lazarus, he had already said to Mary and Martha, not that he could bring about resurrection. He said this, I am the resurrection and the life. If you have Jesus, it is not that you're going to just experience resurrection. If you have Jesus, you have the resurrection and the life in Christ. Now the whole picture is this, that Jesus actually died, he was buried in a tomb for 3 days, and then he rose again. And the Apostle Paul, sharing that as the nugget of the gospel, tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, for what I received, I passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. For the Apostle Paul, that is the gospel in a nutshell. Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the grave. So resurrection involves those three things. Now let's put them together. Resurrection power can only be defined by Christ, because nobody else in history has ever experienced genuine resurrection. And the truth that we're supposed to gain as believers is this, that the power of Christ's resurrection is available to us as believers in Christ. If we continue to treat the resurrection as an event that took place in the life of Christ, instead of it as an experience that we enjoy in Christ, we will never fully understand what it means to have the power of the resurrection. That's one reason why the Lord set up baptism as an ordinance. I am asked that at different times. Why do Baptists have two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper? Well, just for baptism, one of the reasons why Jesus said this is ordered to us to do is because it represents for us the gospel in a physical experience that is a reality of a spiritual experience. When we go into those baptismal waters, we are saying to the world, just like I am dying and going under the water, I have died to sin. I am buried with Christ by baptism into his death, the Apostle Paul says. And then I am raised to walk in newness of life. Every time we go through a baptism experience, we are picturing what the gospel does in our life. Now, I don't know about you. I'm supposed to be saved when I get in that water, and I picture it by being buried in the water. And I'm also supposed to experience resurrection life. And when I come up out of the water, I'm supposed to be saying, I have experienced new life in Christ. Now, what is that new life? That new life doesn't happen because the water washes something away. It is a picture of what Christ has done in my life. But when I accept Jesus as my Savior and I die with him and I experience new life, I am experiencing freedom like I've never known it before. Think about it. I have a new life. I can live free in Christ. I have experienced cleansing. If you were baptized, especially as an older child or teen or as an adult, maybe it makes more sense to you that you had a life of sin. And when you came to Christ and said, will you forgive me my sins? And he says, yes, you experienced a cleansing, did you not? A washing away of sins. You're not convincing me. You experienced a cleansing, did you not? Okay. It's hard to be a cheerleader all by yourself. We have a fresh start. I remember when I came to Christ and I knelt on the front pew with our minister of music and he helped me to experience what it means to know Christ and invite Christ in my life. And when I stood up from there, I began to experience a new start on life. I had the power for the first time in my life to not sin. Think about that. Before you're a Christian, you are powerless against sin. But once Jesus lives in you, you don't have to sin. Well, you might. But you don't have to. Are you with me? And you are given righteousness. We are not just made righteous. The Bible says that we are given the righteousness of Christ. And we are made alive. The Bible teaches us that we were dead in trespasses and sin. But once we come to Christ, we are made alive. And I've pictured that for you before, as if we would roll a casket in here with a corpse in it. And in the middle of the funeral service, the corpse sat up and said, I've changed my mind. I want to live. That would make the place cleared out of most people. We would know they've passed from death to life. When you come to Jesus, the reason why you're supposed to experience new life is you've passed from death into life. When a woman or a man receives the forgiveness of sins and acknowledges Christ as her or his Lord, they experience a spiritual resurrection that we call new life or conversion. And it's characterized by a spiritual energy. 2 Corinthians 5 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. It's supposed to be something different about us. After that conversion, after we've accepted Christ as Savior and he's made us new, then a person moves through various steps as they proceed through what it means to be set apart to Christ. The Bible calls that being sanctified. The longer you live with Christ, the more you are like him if he's setting you apart or sanctifying. And that means certain things. It means that your moral life has changed. I still consider myself fairly young. Now in this group, I might be able to get away with that. In the next one, maybe not. But I consider myself young enough to believe that This is true, that when Jesus came and became my Savior, forgave my sins, he expected that my moral life would change. I had no longer have the freedom to think the thoughts that I thought before, to harbor bitterness like I harbored it before, to think about sin and enjoy it and have the pleasure of it like I did before. When I came to Jesus, my morality changed. And I wonder about people who claim to know Christ, and I do not see in their life the change in the morality that ought to reflect that they know Jesus as their Savior. Perhaps that's my own weakness, but I think that's a part of what it means to be set apart to Christ. Eventually, because you are sanctified by Christ, your spiritual life becomes dominant. It's not your physical life that becomes the dominant force, but the spiritual life does. And so, which do you want to feed? Do you want to feed the physical and the fleshly part of your life, the worldly part of who you are? Or are you feeding the spiritual part of who you are? Once you become set apart for Christ, more and more you experience the power of his resurrection because you are now feeding the spiritual side of who you are in Christ. Physical body is ultimately transformed. You're not going to have this physical body forever. Aren't you glad about that? Arthritis goes out the window. Hearts are made new. Joints are restored. Thinking is restored. Ability and strength are restored. Because this body is going to be ultimately transformed. And eventually the believer in Christ will rest for eternity in heaven. We will enjoy the pleasure and presence of God in heaven. Now, I don't just say those things because I thought them up. How about this? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. The life that we now see and experience is not all that there is. He wants us to know resurrection power. And that will culminate in the event where we are raised from the dead. Several years ago, I saw a movie. And it was called Ordinary Guy. And part of that movie, he was helping some gangs in an urban setting. Someone shot off a gun and killed him. And toward the end of the movie, Guy is buried in the cemetery. And they picture then that Christ comes back. And this ordinary guy pictures for us a dilemma. So I'll ask you the same question. Would you like to be alive when Jesus comes back? Or would you like to have been buried and come shooting up out of the ground? You know, the ultimate answer to that question is, I don't care. Either one, I'm going to get to be with Jesus. So if I have to die first and come shooting up from the ground, that's going to be a glorious experience. If I'm still alive when he comes back, that's going to be a glorious experience. To truly know Christ is to know that we will be like him when he returns. We have victory over death. We have victory over the grave. But we don't have to wait until that moment when Jesus returns to experience resurrection power. Colossians 3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. But the teaching of Scripture is we don't have to wait till Jesus comes back for us to experience the power of his resurrection. Last week I taught you that knowing Christ was more than just head knowledge or intellectual agreement. And in the same way, resurrection power is more than just knowing the suffering and death and resurrection episodes of Christ's experience, of the gospel story. It's got to be more than just knowing that Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the grave. The power of his resurrection has got to be more than just head knowledge of those events in his life. We have got to be convinced of Christ's resurrection and the new life that he wants to bring us because we are a new creation in him. Arthur Rubinstein was a great pianist. Even at 80 years of age, he was acclaimed as having reached greater heights than many, and probably most, piano players in this world. He was asked in an interview, after all those long years of perfection, how he still kept his interpretations fresh and inspiring. This was his answer. He said, "Every day I am a new man. Every occasion is a new moment. When I play, it is no longer I, but a secret power that takes over in me." Now I thought, if that was true of a great musician, by the way, who claimed to be an atheist, I can understand it, how a musician could experience that newness of life. Shouldn't it even be more so for the one who claims to know Christ, that every day would be new, and that somehow there is a power that overtakes us and helps us to live? Resurrection power for us means certain things. Resurrection power starts by saying, I have new life in Christ. But then once I get it settled in my thinking, in my experience, if I have a new life in Christ, then that means I have victory over sin and victory over death and victory over the grave. Those are powerful victories. It also means that day by day I'm becoming more like Christ. Because of the power of his resurrection, he has eternal life. He can impart eternal life to me, or the abundance of life. It becomes my goal to please him. I had a dear friend named Ed Gardner that died of cancer when I lived in Waterloo, Illinois years ago. And it was always Ed's prayer, "Lord, help me to live in such a way that I please you." That's the desire of a Christian who's experienced the resurrection power of Christ. Our thinking is focused on the things of God because of the power of his resurrection. We experience moral change, and eventually we will receive a glorified body in heaven. But we can know that power of resurrection even in this life. Our natural tendency is on doing things for Christ rather than being for Christ. And resurrection power is not us doing something for him. It's about him doing something in us. I will tell you, Joyce and I were married 30-some years ago. In 1981, 33 years ago. And the more and more I get to know her, the more she has changed my life. Now, if you've had the joy of being married to someone in a happy state, I hope, the longer you live with them, the more they change your life, do they not? I find Joyce to be richer, maybe not every day, but about every week. She is richer to me as a person. And the things that she experiences adds to my life. And her joy in life adds to me. And that's sort of what I'm talking about in terms of our relationship with Christ. If we just wait till we have died and Jesus comes back and we come up out of the grave, we are going to experience the newness. That is true. But what if you could experience a part of what that is in this life while you live? To know that you have new life in Christ. There's a story of a country boy who got hired in the city for a salesman's job at a big department store. This is one of those department stores where it is so massive, it has every department imaginable, and you can buy just about anything there. The boss told him, "Well, you can start tomorrow. We'll see how you do for the first day, and at the end of the day, I'll check with you." So at the end of the day, the boss saw the young man, and he was shaking hands with a man who was just smiling with this big old smile on his face. So the boss came up to this young salesman and says, "Looked like you had a good day. How many sales did you make?" The young man says, "Well, I only made one sale." And the boss says, "Well, you're going to have to do better than that. Most of my salesmen make 20 or 30 sales every day. How much was that sale worth?" The young man says, $327,000 and some change." So the boss said, "How did you do that in one sale?" And the man said this, "Well, when he came in this morning, I sold him a small fish hook. Then I sold him a medium fish hook. Then I sold him a large fish hook. Then I sold him a small fishing line and a medium fishing line and then a big one. Then I sold him a spear gun and a wetsuit, scuba gear, nets, bait, and coolers. I asked him where he was going fishing, and he said down the coast. We decided he probably would need a new boat for that, so I took him down to the boat department and sold him that 40-foot schooner with the twin engines. Then he said that his Volkswagen probably wouldn't be able to pull it, so I took him to the truck department and sold him that deluxe cruiser with a winch, storage rack, rust proofing, a built-in refrigerator, and floor mats. The boss took two steps back and said, 'You sold him all that for a guy who came in for one fish hook?' 'Oh, no, no, no,' said the salesman. 'He came in to buy a blanket.' 'A blanket?' the boss said. 'Yeah, an extra blanket for the couch. He and his wife had had a fight. He was going to have to sleep on a couch and needed a blanket.' So I said to him, 'Well, your weekend's ruined. You might as well go fishing.'" Sometimes in our life, I don't think we realize the potential that Christ has for us. We come in looking for a blanket and we end up with a sale of $327,000 and some change. And that's the way it should work in our spiritual lives. I was a young boy. All I knew was that I knew what sin was and that I had sinned. And I came to Jesus to forgive my sins. I didn't understand it as a young boy, what all that meant. But as I began to be more and more set apart to Christ, allow him to work in my life, read scripture and pray. I'm not saying I was great at any of those things. I still messed up a lot as a teenager and as a college student. But more and more, Christ began to claim more of my life, and experience came into my life about who Christ really was. Until finally I reached a day where it wasn't just my joy in knowing that my sins were forgiven, but I began to realize that Jesus wanted to impart to me a whole new life. And my eyes were opened, my spiritual senses were awakened, and I began to realize that Jesus wants to offer me so much more than just fire insurance, just sins forgiven. He wants me to enjoy resurrected life and the power that that brings. I began to grow and mature in Christ. And I will tell you, I still got about 51 years left before I die at 108. I think Christ has still got a lot of work left in me to do, but I am way further down the road than I was when I got saved. I have begun to experience the power of his resurrection because he has already brought me new life. I want to know Christ. That key word is passion. Do you have a fire to know Christ like you have known nothing else in life? And I also want to know the power of his resurrection. And the key word is the potential that is in my life if I will keep turning more and more of it over to Jesus, who wants to make me new every day. Would you say with the Apostle Paul, "I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection"? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us. Lord, sometimes we walk in this balance between knowing we have to live in a world where things are not perfect and we still have to work. We still have struggles and bills to pay and things to do and life changes on us. And knowing that we are made for an eternity in heaven with you. Lord, teach us how to walk in that dimension. But you have given us the power of your resurrection to do it. And I pray, Father, that you will claim us, help us to invite you to bring newness into our life, to know what it means that you have risen from the dead and we are no longer dead in our sins, but we have new life in Christ. Father, if I could get that in my thick skull and it changed my thinking, it would probably also change how I live. I pray that you'll accomplish that more and more each day in me, and that others will be open to you doing that in them. In the name of Jesus, the risen Lord, we pray. Amen. Would you stand together as we sing?